In our series, at Advent series, we have discussed messages. The first Sunday was, who is invited to the birth party of Jesus Christ? And the second one was, what will we give as a birthday gift? And we were admonished, we were challenged to give our hearts, to give our lives to the Savior, because he gave everything and he wants us to love him back. Today, we want to just picture, if you will, be part of that first birth party that happened in Bethlehem. And we want to enjoy that moment and relive that moment spiritually. Can we do that? Sometimes it is the case that the party itself becomes the focus, and it is possible that we forget the person with whom or for whom we celebrate. There were two mothers in a restaurant celebrating, and it was obvious that they were celebrating a special occasion. And so the waitress asked them, what are you celebrating? And they said, one of the mothers said, we are celebrating my little toddler's birthday. Well, where is he? Oh, he's not here. He's at home with a babysitter, and he doesn't even know that we're celebrating. But nevertheless, we are celebrating. And isn't that how we treat Christmas a lot of times? Many of our Christmas events are more focused on decorations and the food and the activities that we plan and the gathering, being with family. There's nothing wrong with that. But when little attention is paid to the guest of honor, if you will, to the one whose birthday it is, to the one that we need to pay homage to the one that we need to worship, and we need to celebrate the very fact that he is alive in our lives. How do we do that? We need to enjoy that moment, not so much enjoying just the extras that come with Christmas. See, it will leave us so empty after Christmas when we finally, the holidays are over, and when everybody leaves and the house is a big mess and we're getting depressed and we face our work again and we think, oh man, now everything is back to the old routine. All the decorations are packed away and all these joys that are gone. We celebrated, but did it leave us empty? Or did it leave us with a lasting joy, with something that we look forward to experiencing again over and over until the Lord comes, either for us or for the world? Christmas is a time to celebrate, and we should always remember that. But it isn't what the world has made of it. That is true. It's interesting. I like to tease some of our young people or the kids. You know, have you seen Santa Claus? And have you asked Santa Claus what you want for? Oh, no, we don't believe in Santa Claus. No. Doesn't exist. You know, it's a good answer. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about all the gifts. It is a celebration of our Savior and our Messiah. Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and not only of the world, but our personal Savior. It's very dear to our hearts. So let's look at the shepherds, first of all, in Bethlehem, in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. It says, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. That was the first Christmas experience. I mean, they were so frightened, they were so surprised by the joy of heaven, surprised by the message, surprised by the appearance of such glory they had never seen, they hadn't even expected. They never saw themselves worthy to receive such a glory, such a sight. And angels joined them, announcing the birth of a Savior, announcing that Christ the Lord, the Anointed One, has come. And then suddenly, the whole, in verse 14, the whole heavens were praising God. They were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." And I believe that heaven is still worshiping. Last Sunday, we had in our bulletin, in our devotional meditation part on the back page. I hope you read those. If you don't read them, I'll stop printing them. But somebody commented on it, and I thought, well, at least somebody read it, about how Jesus left heaven. He emptied Himself in Philippians chapter 2. He took on human form. He emptied Himself of His godness. And then the writer of this meditation says, how was it in heaven? How did Jesus say goodbye to the angels and to the Father? He's one of the Trinity from eternity. He's been, always been, and the Father had determined the time. And the question is raised, did the Holy Spirit and the Father just nod at Jesus and says, it's time to go? Did the angels come around and did they say goodbye jointly? And did they tell Him, Jesus, if you ever need us, just call on us. We'll be there for you, for your defense. Because Jesus said at one point in His life that He had the power to call 12 legions of angels in His defense. They were ready. They were eager to defend the Son of God. How was it in heaven when Jesus stepped down? When He stepped down from His throne, from His glory. And now the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. The Apostle John was permitted in his time, in his old years, to peek in and see what was taking place around the throne of the Lord. This is very interesting in the book of Revelation. And it says they sang a new song, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, saying, worthy art Thou to take the book and to break its seal. For Thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with Thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That is the message. That is the worship that is going on in heaven now after Jesus returned. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Are we celebrating with heaven today? Are we really tuned in? Are we in sync with heaven to say glory to God, glory to the highest? To God in the highest, and that we celebrate and say, thank you, Lord, for this unspeakable gift. So shepherds worshiped. They were involved in the daily routine of their career. They were keeping sheep at night. Some believe that those were temple sheep that were going to be used for offerings, for sacrifices. We don't know that. They were herding sheep of a community. And James Kelso, an archaeologist, he observed the landscape one year while working in this area of Israel. And he says this, the best season for the shepherds of Bethlehem is the winter when heavy rains bring up great green luscious crop and new grass. After the rains, the once barren brown desert earth is suddenly a field of brilliant green. So one shepherd stayed with his flock, this is in his words now, at the same point for 3 weeks, so lush was the grass. But as soon as the rain stopped in the spring, the land quickly took on its normal desert look once again. Then he concludes, December or January would be the most likely months the shepherds came to see the child Jesus. For those that are skeptic that Christmas never happened, or that it happened at a completely different time. It may not have happened on December 25th. It may not have happened the night of December 24th. But what difference is it? We celebrate the birth of our Savior. In verse 9, the shepherd saw the Shekinah. Shekinah is the Hebrew word for glory of God. What does that entail? What did they see? They were sorely afraid, the Bible says. The angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Suddenly he appeared. It was this big light just appearing out of the sky. That was a wonderful experience. And it's interesting that after they were so afraid, that the angel right away said to them, "Do not be afraid." That's the message of Christmas. Do not be afraid to enter into the presence of God, to tune in with the angels, to worship with him, with them, to say glory to God in the highest. He has given us the gift of salvation, of eternal life. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. And the good news is of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, Christ, the Anointed One. The one appointed by God. He has come. He has arrived. Phillips translates this, the splendor of the Lord blazed around them. A splendor. In the quiet night, suddenly it happened. Their daily routine was interrupted with a great message. A message of joy. A message of hope. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. The idea is to encircle, to encompass with light. I mean, there was no shadow. It was light all around. They were totally engulfed in light. Because the angel was there, the glory of God had come onto earth. The message, the Savior is born. The Savior has come. The Savior that represents the holy presence of Yahweh of the Old Testament. All the scriptures of the Old Testament were now starting to begin to be fulfilled in the Messiah. Because the Messiah would be the Old Testament law and the prophets. He would be the king. He would be the high priest. He would be the sacrificial lamb. He was everything. And so the message of the angel was simply this. I bring you good tidings of great joy, and it shall be to all people. You shall find, and then it says, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. This is the sign you have. What a great sign, right? You shall find a baby. You shall find a baby that is normal, that is as a normal human being, but he's special. He is born of God. He is sent of God. He is lying in a manger. This is the sign the angel gave them. And the good news was today in the city of David, in Bethlehem. I wonder if he gave them the exact address where they could find them. I wonder if one of them had a GPS and find out where is that location. No, they followed now their hearts to Bethlehem, to the child. They acted upon this experience of glory of God. They didn't stay where they were. They wanted to continue the experience. They didn't say, well, I have enough. This is all I need to hear. I don't need to hear any more. No, they wanted this personal encounter. They wanted this personal relationship with a Savior. A.T. Roberts tells us this great word, Savior, is common in Luke and Paul and seldom elsewhere in the New Testament. The people under Rome's rule came to call the emperor Savior. And Christians took the word and used it for Christ. But the angel himself said, there is a Savior born to you. The Christmas story is also told in other words, in the words of Peter, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This was all wrapped in the gift of God, in the glory of God. So what is our purpose? What is our goal? Our goal is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. My question today is, do you really enjoy your walk with God? Or are you restless? Are you discontent? Do you really enjoy your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Is that clear? If it is, then you and I are called to remember and to reflect upon Christmas, upon what God has done, what He is doing, and what He will be doing in our lives. He has a goal with your life. See, Mary, the mother of Jesus, learned the art of remembering and reflecting. And I like this story. You see, when you continue reading in Luke chapter 2, you read the story of the shepherds. And after the shepherds had seen the baby, they had convinced themselves, yes, the Savior is born, and they spread the word to others. And then it says, listen to this verse, in verse 19. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Another translation says Mary was preserving all these things, pondering in her heart. You see, what do mothers usually do when, at least when the first child is born? They create a baby book. They usually have pictures when they're pregnant, and then when the baby is born, the first picture and the footprints, and some have the first shoes, and they get bronzed, and all of that. The second, well, it's not that big of a deal anymore. And if there's three or four or five children, the fifth one, well, yeah, where's the last one? Where's the, oh, he's standing with the others here. He's somewhere. So when you have more children, it's usually, it goes less. But the first one, the firstborn, oh, he or she is special. They are special. And so what do mothers do? Mary treasured up all these things, another translation says, and pondering them in her heart. She was enjoying the moment. She was really rejoicing, and on all of this that she observed about the birth of her newborn son, it was all an encouragement to her. She pondered them. That means that she herself knew that her very little boy that she had just given birth to was also her Lord and Savior. She needed Him. The same as everybody else. This was God's gift. And she must have said over and over, who am I? Who am I that God used me to bring His Son to this world? She pondered these thoughts in her heart. The word means to keep in mind, to hold or treasure up in one's memory. We won't forget it. It's like seared in our memories. We just nurture our souls through those memories that we have experienced. And this is why we need to reflect and remember what salvation means to us personally. What is Christmas to us anyway? Do you remember when you first came to the Lord? See, when God spoke to Mary, she listened. She wasn't in disbelief. She didn't doubt the angel. She listened. She believed. And she enjoyed those moments. And she treasured them over and over. Loved ones, I cannot understand why people are so careless about church services and prayer meetings and don't enjoy the moment of the presence of God Almighty. I mean, you would think that believers, Christians, born again believers, would really be eager and wouldn't be able to wait to be in the presence of the Lord and enjoy Him forever. But somehow, the way that faith and religion sometimes is explained to us turns us off in the sense that God is not something to enjoy, that His presence is not something that we should really relish in. We should forget as much as possible. Ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. You see, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I desire to know Him and the suffering, His sufferings, and the power of His resurrection. I want to experience that over and over, he says. I want to remember that. I want to reflect on it over and over because it gives me the strength. It keeps alive the hope. It keeps alive the joy. It keeps alive the peace and the love of God in our hearts if we reflect and if we remember. So what kind of songs are we singing this Christmas? Obviously, we sing Christmas songs, right? But what kind of songs do we sing in our hearts? God has often spoken to us. Have we listened to Him? Do we listen to Him this Christmas season? Are we all ears to Him and say, Lord, speak to me. Shine in my darkness once again and brighten up things in my heart and my life and renew my relationship with You. Recently, we got a message over, I think it was Facebook or an email, a young lady that we knew in Texas. She wrote on a Sunday, she said, today I rededicated my life to Christ. That's what Jesus wants. And many of us here this morning, maybe it's time that you rededicate your life to Christ. And this whole Christmas experience becomes real to you, that you can relish in the moment, that you can say, yes, I have re-experienced Christ in a new way, in a fresh way. What is the treasury of your heart? What do you treasure? Just memories of families, that's very good. But some memories might be really sad and painful, especially if you lost a parent or you lost a sibling or you lost a child. It can be very painful when you just remember that. But remember that first Christmas. The shepherds worshipped. They experienced Christ personally. They enjoyed the moment. They were glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. And our response should be like those of the shepherd. So what songs are we singing this Christmas in our hearts? Has God, through Jesus Christ, put His new song in your heart? Can you truly say, I am a child of God? I am saved because of the Savior who has come? Let's take moments to simply honor and praise the one whose birth we celebrate. Take moments during the day. Take moments every day or at night or early in the morning, whenever your time is. But take the time to worship and fellowship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This coming week, amidst all the to-do list things, especially the last week before Christmas, it seems that we make it so busy, we make it the busiest time before Christmas. It would be good that we just take breaks, sit down, meditate, treasure the message of the gospel in our hearts, and say, Lord, I thank you. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Ponder, marvel, remember, reminisce, reflect on what God has given to us all. And maybe there's a possibility that God wants to give you more. I'm sure He wants to give us more. He wants to give us more of what we have tasted and seen so far. You and I are closer to eternity today than we were ever before. And may God help us that this hope of eternity, this hope of heaven, would never diminish in our hearts and minds. That we wouldn't start to complain and get all worked up and stressed out about things and be anxious, but that we would focus and take the time to meditate on Scripture, on the story of Christmas, on what the Messiah has given us. Let's do this as we sing a few songs and then want to pray together.